This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey, it's 4:06 again.
Are you sure?
I think so.
How come it's always 4:06 when we start this thing?
Well, how you feeling, Mike?
I am feeling great. 100%. 110% great.
Are you keeping your distance?
We're only 5.5 feet apart. So hopefully nobody is filming us.
Yes. Governor?
Well, anyway, yeah, Gov. Anyway, thank you for listening today. And if you have any landscape questions, gardening questions, how to prune your whatever shrub or whatever, we can do that. I can tell you the answer. You have the question, and if you want to call in, it's 673-4464, 673-4464. And it doesn't matter what I'm speaking about. You can interrupt the flow of conversation. It doesn't matter to me. I can just make something up after you get off the phone. It's easy. I'm just kidding. But anyway, one thing.
Is that why you got into politics?
Yeah. I could say anything and everybody says, yeah, I like that.
I like that. Yeah, right. Yeah. And
no, I only said what I meant, and I stuck to it, and it was easy. Didn't have to think about anything. Just say, this is what I feel like, this is what I'm thinking, and this is the way it ought to be done.
And some didn't like that, I suppose.
Too bad. I didn't care. Anyway, business-wise, though, we are open. We are one of those open businesses out there, and we're open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. We don't close except on Sunday. And as spring comes and gets actually spring-like and a little warmer and drier, we'll be open on Sunday from 12 to 5, but not right now. It's just Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, and we are germ-free. We are virus-free. We won't infect anybody, and the plants are all healthy, too, so you're safe coming to Wintergreen Nursery.
Well, that's a good sign when the plants are healthy.
Oh, yeah. You know, if the plants start dying, you better run fast.
You better go.
You know, it's kind of interesting. This weather's been kind of screwy. I mean, we had a few good days here and there. You know, we got to, I think, got to 70 or 68 one day last week.
Yeah, wasn't that nice?
Yeah, I was like, whoa, finally spring. Then, boom, we're back into 4 or 5 days of this drizzly cold stuff. It snowed at my house this morning while I was getting ready to go.
You're serious?
I'm serious, dead serious. And it was raining when I thought it was raining when I walked out. And it's kind of dark, and I got to walk about 100 feet to my truck from the house, from the porch. And I'm drinking my coffee, and I'm standing inside my shop and looking at and I'm thinking, wow, and the automatic light comes on. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, those raindrops are awfully thick. And I looked at him again. Those aren't raindrops. They were wet snowdrops.
Wow.
Yeah. And then when it got daylight, you know, you look up at the Callahan and all the surrounding hills, they're all white.
Mm.
Yeah, they were all white. So mm-hmm. I was not wrong. It was snowing on me, and I thought, this is insane. This is March. Leave me alone. But in all the years I've lived in Douglas County, you know, I don't remember a March that has been so cold and drizzly like this March has been. I mean, it's like usually March, you get about mid-March, and it really starts to look like spring, and you might get an occasional cloudy day or maybe a little bit of rain, but day after day after day after day. And the reason I notice it so much is because I work outside every day in it. That's how I know.
You definitely know of what you speak.
I know. This is where's this global warming when you need it? Oh, golly. But we've had, like I said, we had a few nice days, but not as many as usual.
Right.
And, you know, it was, like I said, snowing at 6 a.m. this morning. Still, it was just, I think it was 33 or something like that. Yeah, it is. And, of course, I live in a canyon, so there's not much sun that ever gets in there except in June. you know, it's what's funny was... I was in the in Myrtle Creek at about 9:15 at the project we're doing down there, And I was writing up something. I got in the truck for a few minutes to write some things out here, and it was snowing there at 9:15. Yeah.
Wow, that's odd.
It was odd. Yeah. Holy mackerel, where is the global warmers? I want them. But
come blow some of your hot air over here.
Yeah, and I came to the conclusion that the folks that are harping about global warming all the time never go outside to experience the wet, cold climate. They live indoors. They work indoors. They never get out.
They just turn the heat up.
Yeah, turn the heat up, honey. Oh, gosh.
Oh, I got to stop.
Yeah. But anyway, I was going to talk about checking your sprinkler system, I think, last week. And then I think it was raining the day I was in here. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll do it today. So I'll just do it anyway. But because last week, there's one project we're waiting to do. But the sprinkler part, it's an older home, and the sprinkler system has been in there for a while. Mm-hmm. So to give him an accurate estimate, ballpark figure, anything to repair the sprinkler, it was raining every day and it was cold. So we're not going to turn on the stinking sprinkler system and get soaked by the heads
and
drowned everything. So we waited. We waited till one of those sunny days, mm-hmm. and it was, in the 50s, something like that, and we turned it on. And I think he had 12 zones, 12 different zones. Mm-hmm. So as my brother Steve is manipulating the clock and turning it from zone to zone, I'm out there checking the heads. And, I think at least a third, if not more, of the sprinkler heads were broken or shooting in the wrong way, and in some instances there was no head there. It was just bare ground. All of a sudden this water just started bubbling up from the earth, and I thought, oh, there's a broken pipe down there. I don't know where it is. But this is actually the time of year that you wanna check on your system before it does get warm, before it does get hot, so that you can be prepared. I don't do it on a day like today. It's crazy. But turn on your system. If you got an automatic system, turn on your system and just walk around and look and see where the heads are. See if they're actually working. See if they're actually squirting. There might be some minor adjustments that you have to do, or, that you might have to take off the head, and there might be some particles of whatever, moss or, grit.
Whatever's plugging it.
They're easy to, these days they're really easy because everything is a plastic part. So in most cases, you don't even need a wrench or anything. You just unscrew the darn thing and it comes right off. And, flush it, clean it out, get it ready so that when the warm weather comes, you can go ahead, flip on the system. It's working and easy to do. Just, when it's snowing like this morning, don't do it in the snow. But that way, you can find your broken heads or broken pipes. And I don't know why it happens, but, last fall when you shut your system off, everything was working perfectly. Mm-hmm. And for some reason this spring, it finally gets into, say, 80 degree, 75 to 80 degree weather. And so, turn on the system. And the booger's not working.
Yeah.
Why isn't it working? And then you have to go through that process then, which it's probably not too late in April or May, but it's one of those landscape chores that you have to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. You can't just assume because it was working well last year that you're going to turn it to on and it's automatically going to be timed the way you had it timed last year, or all heads will work properly. You don't know what animals were under the ground gnawing on your pipe. I mean, there's some critters that do that. And believe it or not, with automatic systems, you got these computerized controllers, and you set them up and you get the times and there's the days and the time of day and all that kind of stuff, and it's working perfectly all summer long. And you would think, well, it's going to stay that way. All I have to do is turn the switch on, and it works, and it does the same thing as it did last year. Wrong. For whatever reason, either there's a power outage or maybe a loose wire. It can be any number of things.
Aunt Martha ran into it.
Yeah. Aunt Martha, she runs into it. It's usually on the side of your house. So Aunt Martha ran into it. It hurt your house, and you noticed. But unbelievable as they are, they're good machines. I mean, they work. They're much improved over some of the old-timer ones that we used to use when back in the early 70s and stuff like that. I could even operate these computer ones. It blows my mind. I have my brother Steve. I said, Steve, fix it.
Yeah.
Set it right, Steve. I can read the clock, you know, because they always got to read out there.
Yeah, this one's yours.
This one's yours, buddy. And he's very, very good at it. So you don't have to set it up and get it running, but just pay attention to what's going on so that when it does, the weather does change and you do need it, then you can flip the switch and you know it's working, and you won't have to go through a whole bunch of hassles at that time.
Kind of off topic, but it's like air conditioning.
Yeah, exactly. It worked perfectly last summer.
And you flip it on,
and brown smoke comes out, and you go, "What is going on here?"
I turned the heat on.
Yeah, you flipped the wrong switch, man. Oh, but you know, if you go through it, you look at it, you can see it, you can fix it. It's easy. It's really, really, if it was installed properly, you know, if you installed it yourself, you know where all the bits and pieces and pipes are for the most part. But if there was a professional that installed it, and you know, you may not know where a certain thing is, call the professional up and say, "Hey, come on out here and look at my sprinkler. It's not working. I want it to work before it gets hot." Oh gosh. But here's the plus about this weather. It's still cold enough to go ahead and plant bare root trees. I mean, bare root trees are trees that are not in pots. The roots are bare. And we've got quite a few of them at the nursery. You know, fruit trees, shade trees, flowering trees. And the cool thing about bare root trees is that they're light. You can pick one up, carry in one hand, stick it in the back of your pickup truck or even in your back seat of your car, drive away, go home, dig the hole, get the proper soil, put it in, and it's ready to go. It's not heavy. It's not a big, bulky pot. Now, about April 1st to about the mid-April, all our bare root trees that we have left over, we start potting them up so that we can sell them in June, July, August, etc. Because it takes about 6 to 8 weeks for them to really fully root out. But right now, a bare root tree, a bare root tree is half the price of what a potted tree is.
Oh, okay. And
because you
that
don't,
makes sense.
Because the pots. The pot, depending on the size of the pot could be $15 to $20, just the pot itself. So if you got no pot, you're making out $15-$20.
I bet
right
your
there.
Neighbor has some pot though.
Oh yeah, and then you got the potting soil that you put in, the labor, the fertilizer, and all that, and your growing time, and that's what makes a $25 tree, a $59.95 type tree in the summertime. So to take advantage of bare root season, and bare root season occurs every year from, say, the last week in January till about the first week in April, or if the weather is kind of cool and drizzly like this, you extend that bare root season. But once it really gets a daily warm and kind of drier every day, that's when you should have those bare roots already potted, so they're putting out roots and everything else. And the thing is, when you pull it, and we got them lined out in chips and sawdust, and so a person comes in and says, "Yeah, I want the third one down." It's real easy. You just pull it right out of the sawdust. There it is, and there's the roots. You know, and
nice.
And if they have if they have to put it in the back seat, we got big plastic bags we can put the roots in so it doesn't get the car dirty, and you know, just send them on their way and tell them when they get it home, get it out of the bag so the roots don't dry out, because the hair roots, the minor roots, the first roots that are coming out, they're little white roots and they're as big as hair. That's why they call them hair roots. But those are the most important roots, because those are the roots that begin to take the nutrients and the moisture from the soil and send them up to the tree so the tree will grow. If you take a bare root tree home and say, Oh, I'll plant that after lunch, and you lay it there beside the garage or the right. driveway, yeah. and then you go in to have lunch, and then Joe Blow calls you, and you go down to his house and chat with him for a half an hour, and in the meantime the sun's out, right?
Right.
And is drying the roots out, and if you leave it out there too long, the roots get dry enough to where it actually damages the tree, mm-hmm. and if you really forget it, it'll kill the tree. You know, if you
wow.
leave it out there for a day or so.
So don't forget about it.
Oh, my tree, I forgot. It's over by the garage. I got to get that puppy in. So bare root trees require a little bit more pay attention, get it mm-hmm. home, get it planted. But once it's planted, it does fine. It really mm-hmm. does fine.
Cool.
We did.
Can we take a break?
Okay.
I don't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
But...
Interrupt me. Stop the flow.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back in just a couple. With Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQAN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, come to Oregon. We got less cases. All right, we're back.
Are we back? Are you sure we're back?
We are.
I don't believe that. I guess there's people listening. If you're listening, you want to have a conversation and you want to talk about a tree or a plant or a lawn, 673-4464 is the number, and we'll just get right on it. So anyway, I've been talking about bare root trees and the advantage of planting bare root trees because they're lighter, they're easier to plant, they're cheaper by about 50-60% than what you would buy in the summer or fall. They're a good deal all the way around. And anyway, they get going right away. We have ours, like I said earlier in the early segment, we have ours healed in sawdust, just green old sawdust. And that's just to keep the roots from drying out. And you have them in nice straight lines so people can see the trees and all that kind of stuff. But what's interesting, and I found this out years ago because, in the process of learning about stuff, I pulled out a tree and it had all these white roots on it. And I'm thinking, gee whiz, by all the books I've read and studies I've done, green sawdust is not a good planting medium. Yet these things were growing in that green sawdust quite vigorously. And in fact, one year, way, 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 way long time ago, I had some bare root trees at the nursery. But when it came to time to pot them up, I didn't have the money to buy the pots because the pots at that time were like at least $10 a pot for a good size plastic pot. And I didn't have the money. So I thought, well, I'll just leave them in the sawdust and keep them watered and fertilized. So that's what I did. I fertilized them right on top of the sawdust and make sure because we're going in the summer. Well, I had a client call me. A client called me and says, Mike, I want to put in an orchard. And do you have any fruit trees? I says, yeah, I got quite a few of them. But, it was like end of June, 1st of July, somewhere in there. It was summer. I thought, oh, geez, Louise. And I said, let me check and see how the root systems are, and I'll call you back. So I went out there, and I dug one up, and the roots had multiplied significantly in that sawdust. I mean, they were a full root system. There were leaves on these trees and everything else, and I thought, wow, the sawdust doesn't hurt them at all. So I called my client back, and I says, yeah, how many? And he wanted 48 of them. So I counted them. I had 48. I had more than 48. I had about 148. But what we did, we went out and we pre-dug all the holes. We measured them out and we dug all the holes. So the holes were ready. The soil was ready beside each hole. And then I quickly went back to the nursery and loaded as many as I could in the back of my pickup, and then I threw a scoop or two of bark on top of them to cover the roots, and then watered them down. I had watered them so much that the truck bed was leaking, and so I knew they were fully saturated while they were laying down, because you don't have to stand them up. Yeah,
that's a lot of water.
Oh, it was. It was. And so we ran out, drove out to the job site, and we had the crew there, and one at a time, as we took them out, the roots were dripping wet. We put them right in the holes, put the soil in, and that's how we planted all 48 trees. Every one of those puppies lived. Wow. Every one of them lived. So if you take precautions, and you do it right, you'll have success. If you neglect it, now if I had just thrown them in my truck and not covered them or not watered them or anything like that in the middle of June or July, it was either June or July, I can't remember. But it was summer, definitely summer.
It was hot.
It was hot, and you're not supposed to do bare root trees when it's hot, you know. But it all worked. And so that's stretching it. I don't suggest anybody do that. That's why I say, hey, if you're on a bare root tree, get it now while you can, and you won't have to do the hassle thing like that. So at any rate, we still got a lot of fruit trees. We got shade trees, flowering trees. So they're good to go, and they'll quickly root in. And if all you got for soil is some bark mulch, throw it in the hole. It'll be fine. They'll work. They'll grow, and you'll have lots of success with that. So, you know, I was reading an article here the other day. It was kind of interesting, and it was on the healing power of trees. I thought, the healing power of trees. Now, and the reason I didn't throw the article away, because it was in one of my nursery magazines. And I thought, the healing power of trees in my nursery magazine. I got to read this. What these guys are saying.
What are they talking about?
What are they talking about? But here's a quote right at the beginning of the article. Science is finding that, figuratively speaking, a tree a day keeps the doctor away, end quote. And I thought, what? I read that two or three times. Yeah. So, but then the article goes on to say that regular exposure to trees and nature can help people recover from illness and lead to better mental and physical health.
Boy, we need a lot of trees now.
Oh, well, we got a lot in Oregon. That's why we're doing so well.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. But they've been, apparently, they've been doing this serious research on this subject for years. And I had no clue until I read this article.
No, I didn't either.
And it's in a real magazine written by professionals. It's not something that flung off the wall somewhere. You know, it's.
I won't say what we call those.
I know. I can read your mind, but this is solid evidence. The researchers that have done this say this is solid evidence has turned up that trees will influence health regulations, urban planning, and even economic policy. And I'm trying to put all this stuff together, and I'm thinking, how in the world do trees influence health regulations? Well, I guess maybe because of the shade that is created, or the oxygen that they put in the air, or whatever. And urban planning, I can kind of see that, because you don't want to have a brand new neighborhood without any trees in it or vegetation in it. And of course, even economic policy, when you plant trees in a yard, your value goes up. So that's, I guess, a fragment of economic policy there. I don't know. But we folks in the...
You cut the tree down and sell it, I guess.
Yeah, well, then there's some economic policy there, too. But we folks in the plant-growing business always knew those things, right? So, it's nice to know that the scientific community has finally caught up with us.
That's nice. Yeah, it's about time.
They finally agree with us, you know. Jeez Louise, these people are slow. So the push is to plant more trees in the ever-expanding cities. And that's what the article went on to talk about, is as we, take Portland, Eugene, Medford, as they continually build subdivisions, we take bare land, and there may be some trees on the bare land, but in most cases, when you're doing a subdivision, they just take a D9 cat in there and clean it off, level it up, and start building, put the streets in, that kind of thing. But there are some good developers I've seen that if there are some very old oaks or firs or pines or maples or whatever, and they're not going to disturb the building process, they'll leave them.
They'll leave them.
But for the most part, you've got bare naked land, and there's these little brand new homes on the street. Yeah. There's no trees. You know, there's no shade. I mean, you've created a hot spot, actually.
Yeah,
you know, because even the grass will cool an area off maybe 1 or 2 degrees in the mm-hmm. summer. So the push is, again, to plant more trees in our ever-expanding cities, which I think is a good idea. And the scientific community and their research are finding that plants are more than just decorative, but fulfill basic needs in our lives. And I'm thinking, okay, I think I've been saying that kind of, sort of.
Mm-hmm. In a roundabout
way. In a roundabout way, yeah. You know, you got a nice yard, you sit in the backyard and enjoy it, for crying mm-hmm. out loud. So,
yeah.
But anyway, they call this the study of environmental psychology. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of new things I'm learning about trees that
sounds
I never
like
knew.
Sounds like the 60s are coming
back.
Yeah,
environmental psychology and how humans benefit from open space, urban forestry, and natural systems, unquote. So, and you know, I can go along with that.
Yeah.
There's benefit to all that. But then the article went on to talk about hospitals that have begun to plant therapy gardens. Therapy gardens, and you know, and Mercy is a good example of that.
Yeah.
Mercy's landscape has really developed well over the years as they've added more buildings and stuff. They've done a good landscaping job.
They have.
I did the first landscape job when Mercy was first built back in 1976.
Mm.
You know, and it was just two buildings at that time, and a lot of parking. But since they've added all those buildings, they've expanded stuff.
And no parking.
Yeah. But anyway, there are several areas that we created way back then that we planted rhodies, and those rhodies now are 12, 15 feet tall, and where a patient or a staff member can walk out into there and sit on a bench and be quiet and just enjoy a break in the day with surrounded by plants. But and that's what this article was talking about. See, I was 30 years ahead of my time, and I didn't know it.
Oh, there you go.
But this is places where staff and patients can sit and recharge their lives from their busy and demanding work. Well, okay. And you know, if you're in a hospital, but you can walk around and get around, and you're on the mend, hey, it's nice to have a garden you could go sit in
and get out of that building and relax.
Get away from the hustle and
hubdrub.
Yeah, right. All that stuff that's going on in a hospital, for crying out loud. But
you get tired of hearing all that hospital talk.
Yeah, right. Roll over. It's only going to hurt for a little bit.
Yeah. Close your eyes.
Yeah, close your eyes. But patients, like I say, patients also benefit by sitting in a quiet, beautiful, and natural setting. The healing processes are speeded up. You know, this has increased patient recovery time, according to the research. Didn't give a percentage of or a timeline on it, but it just said it has increased patient recovery time, according to the research. And doctors in some of these hospitals are now prescribing garden time for their patients.
Is that right?
Yeah. You know, mostly in larger cities, I guess. I don't know if they do it at Mercy, but, you know, probably Portland maybe, or Seattle, or, you know, one of those bigger cities.
Possibly Eugene, I suppose.
Yeah. And they just feel that patients getting outside can improve their patient strength and their endurance. And these are also, they call these garden areas desired destinations.
Okay, these names they come up with.
I know. And desired destinations for patients to be active while they, which leads to improved health.
Okay.
End quote. I'm quoting this stuff on the article, man. I'm not making it up, honest.
On that note, it's break time.
Yeah, we'll take a break. I got to relax.
Go to your destination.
Yeah, my destination garden. Oh, goodness.
All right. We'll be right back. Mike Winter's
Hopefully.
Lawn and Garden Show here in a couple of minutes. News Radio 1240 KQAN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Oh, reminiscing about our youth.
Oh, yeah. So far away.
Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show now on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And if you want to interrupt this flow of chatter that we're having here, you can call 673-4464 and ask any gardening question you would like, and I will give you an answer. But I was speaking about in the last segment about the research that folks have been doing on the quality of life that trees and shrubs have on our life, and how gardens are healthy for not only our physical health but our mental health as well, and how some major hospitals throughout the nation have built these patient gardens or patient/staff gardens, so they have a place to get away and get out of the hustle and bustle for 15 minutes or a half an hour during their work day to kind of stabilize them before they have to go back in and, you know, do they do. Because what they do in hospitals is very intense. There's always some sort of a, maybe not a real emergency, but there are emergencies, but the patient care is intense for the most
absolutely.
Part. And you got to be on the ball. So, you know, what better place to take a break than in the hospital garden?
The destination.
Yes.
What was that called? The
destination garden?
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the destination garden. We have a call?
We do.
Well, good.
Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
Hey.
What is the right way, Mike? I was going for a... what is the right way? Could you give some instruction and some advice and a way on how to prune, let's call apple trees or pear trees? What is the right way, and what is the right way to do this? You could do it with a espalier, which is completely different than how you would do it with a freestanding.
Well, yeah, there's different styles, and you know, like a freestanding fruit tree. If you want it just to be a fruit producer, you want to keep it short and not let the limbs go tall. Keep it short and let it spread horizontally, because when it spreads horizontally and you prune and you thin out some of the branches, there's more sunlight and more air circulation, so that the fruit can develop more evenly and rapidly, and actually it has more fruit when you cut off the peripheral branches that don't bear fruit. And it's really a simple process in that you, once you start, I had a fruit tree once that, it must have been 15 feet tall, maybe 18 feet tall, but all, you know, some of the undeveloped fruit was way up on the top. So what I did is I cut it down to 5 feet, and there were three main branches, and I cut it down to 5 feet, and those three main branches were kind of horizontal. They went sideways instead of up. So I kept the bearing spurs short, and then the very next year all my fruit was at eye level. And so I kept that tree that way, and it bared a lot of fruit every year. It was good fruit, easy to prune, easy to spray, easy to pick the fruit. And as long as you, if you're going to do a major pruning job, you want to do it in the dead of winter. If you want to do just a light pruning or anything, you can do a light pruning anytime you want. Does that help you?
Could that, Mike, that was absolutely fabulous. Could you gently describe exactly how you produce that pruning, the shape and cutting of the that was absolutely fabulous. How did you exactly do it?
Well, I was shooting from the hip. This was something that I, you know, my attitude was, well, if I prune it and it dies, okay, so what? But if I prune it and it works, great. And so I pruned
absolutely.
It. Yeah, I pruned it and it worked. And as long as you cut with good tools, good sharp pruning tools, or a good sharp saw if it's a large limb, and have a good even cut, it's going to heal very quickly, and all the energy that used to go up into all those branches that went straight up and all I did is produce leaves and immature fruit, all that energy now goes into what's left in the tree, and so consequently it flowers more and then produces more fruit, and the fruit is bigger, better, and more healthy.
That Mike, that is so beautiful. What is behind my words is envisioning these places I've seen in Organic Gardening magazine and these various places where you see these limbs going out vertically, horizontally. No, not vertically.
Horizontally. Yeah.
And having these full-grown apples and pears, just like they were, going across the limb.
Exactly.
And so you've got this entire both sides. Put your hand up, spread your fingers out, make the whole thing display, and having this set of apples and pears be this bunk 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 bunk, apples and pears, fully grown, fully developed, fully accessible.
Yeah,
it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, and pruning does it all. And as I tell people, time after time, don't be afraid to prune. What it does is makes the plant, whether it's a tree or a shrub, makes it stronger. The root system gears up to help it get stronger. And as long as you keep it that way and keep it pruned that way, it works every time. And I did that one other time at my old house in Roseburg. There was a young apple tree in my front yard, and it was so many leaves on it that the branches were bending over. I cut that puppy down to about 5 feet, and I thought, well, I'd probably kill that. And I did that way back when I didn't know anything. And, of course, my neighbor across the street came over and yawed at me because I killed the tree. But the next year it was the most beautiful tree on the block. So I've learned by doing, and you that's your best experience. Go ahead out there and do it and see what happens.
Wow. I am so proud of you. Mike, I've been proud of you for more than 30 years. Well done.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for sharing with us.
All righty.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we got another call here.
Okay.
Maybe.
Oh. Nope. Call back.
Absolutely.
Honest. Call back.
Don't be shy.
Don't be shy. Yeah. I think I lost my place here, but the research I was talking about, the desired destinations for patients at hospitals.
Well, you want to find your place while we take a break?
Well, I've got it right
now.
Oh,
you got
it. But you
want
to take a break, go for it. I don't care. You're running the thing. I'm just talking.
Oh, how untrue that is. All right, we'll be back with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
giving you the details.
Details.
All right, we're back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And I've been talking about the how trees improve our health, our physical health, our mental health, our state of mind, because of the research that I was reading about. Mm-hmm. And I knew that anyway. I could have told the researchers all this 40 years ago.
Could have saved the taxpayer money.
But I don't have a degree. So anyway, the research that they've been doing goes on to state that those people that live in areas with more trees, now listen to this, with more mm-hmm. trees in the area, have lower asthma rates. They have reduced hospital visits during heat waves and improved mental health as compared with residents of communities that have fewer trees.
Hmm.
Yeah, I thought, like, okay, you mean yeah. Eastern Oregon or the desert? Or they have their types of trees over there, yeah. too. But I don't know.
I knew I liked trees for some reason.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I used to climb them all over the place, man. Just, you know.
Oh. That's what I missed when I went to L.A. the first time.
No trees? Oh,
no trees.
No, it's amazing. And the ones that used to be in the mountains are all burned up. There's an occasional one.
Yeah. Oh, a survivor.
A survivor, yeah. Oh, golly. And so, you know, I've come to this conclusion, and I kind of already knew this conclusion, but a simple way to relax and clear your mind and get a little exercise is to work in your own yard, for crying out loud. You know, hey, you got all of them. You got the relaxation, you got the mental health, you got the exercise. Hey, you're batting 300 there or 500.
Makes you feel good.
Yeah. You know, like if you want to start a pruning project on all the overgrown shrubs that you've been neglecting for the last few years and say, geez, Louise, well, I got to do something with that. Well, get a good set of loppers and or a chainsaw or whatever you need, whatever tool would be appropriate, and go ahead and cut them. And if you want to really be good about it, you might ask a neighbor who does pruning in their own yard, hey, how should I cut these? Or get a book on pruning, and there are books in the box stores about pruning and patios and all that kind of stuff. And see, they show you before and after photos of this is what the shrub looked like, or this is what the tree looked like, and this is what the tree or shrub looked like after pruning. Yeah. And, you know, that way you'll get an idea of what needs to be done. But I have found, and as I talked to that last caller, I have done some unmerciful pruning on fairly mature trees just yes. to see what would happen. Uh-huh. And they not only did they survive, they flourished. And there have been very few things that I've pruned that died. And I've taken 8 and 10 foot rhododendrons and pruned them down to 3 footers. And there's not a leaf on the stem, and just kind of put them out in the shade in the back for a few months. And then leaves start popping out. And the next year there's more leaves. And the year after that, they're full of flowers again, only they're shorter, they're fuller, and they're more productive. And that's what pruning is all about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a very good example of pruning fruit trees and stuff is to go out into Garden Valley, go to Cruz Farms, drive through Cruz Farms area out the way to Singleton Park. See what they've done to their trees. Or if you're in the Winston area, the Brosai Orchard Road, Winston Section Road, they got a lot of orchards in there. They prune their trees exactly like I was telling you. And they keep them short and wide and open. And that's how you get your best fruit production, healthiest fruit production, and it's because there's air circulation and sunlight is able to get in there more evenly, and just that's what the fruit wants. That's what the fruit needs. So if you get into your backyard and you don't know how to prune, give it a whack. You know, you don't have to do your whole yard in one fell swoop. You can do a small section and see if it actually survives. And that's a real good way to learn right there. And then you can say, well, yeah, hey, as bad a job as I did on that, it all came back. It all looks good.
Yeah.
And then you can refine your pruning expertise from that point. Mm-hmm. But you know, and once you've completed your little project on, say, a little section of your yard, sit back, admire your work, see what your creative juices have done, and that's your your handiwork. Now those shrubs look good, they're neat, they're clean, they're not against the house or against the fence or anything like that. So mission is accomplished, and you'll feel good about what you did for your work. And if you feel good about that, that's that mental
there
health thing
go.
That those folks were talking about, you know.
It's amazing how that works.
Yeah, it's cool. So, and that's one less job on your list of yard jobs to do, and it gives you some sort of a sense of satisfaction, so that, you know, when when things leaf out and you've had a stressful day at work, at whatever you do, you come home, sit out on the back patio, or just take a lawn chair and sit there and look at your handiwork. Hey, it has a way of, you know, kind of taking your troubles and putting them in the wind, and you can just relax and say, hey, I did a good job on this. I can make the rest of my yard look just
as good. Just leave the TV off.
Yeah, leave the TV off and lock the kids in the closet and be by yourself.
Yes,
and just enjoy. And like I say, that's one less job you have to do on your list. And so you've got other pruning projects, I'm sure, that in the rest of your yard. Well, now you've got an example from which to develop a more exact pruning technique. And not all things are pruned the same exact way. And you'll learn that as you do it. You'll learn it or have somebody show you, this is how you prune this particular tree, or this is how you prune this particular shrub. And the reason is because A, B, and C. And once you have that knowledge of how that all works, it's a whole lot easier ball game for you to do it. So how are we doing on time here, Ace?
Oh, we got about a minute.
About a minute,
well,
huh?
Yeah, 90 seconds.
Okay. So at any rate, use that same relaxed approach when you're planting new shrubs, flowers, or trees, you know? Pick a small section of your yard. No, don't try to do the whole yard in one fell swoop, you know? Make a plan as to how many plants you might want to do, or what type of greenery is going to enhance your yard, or what kind of color do you want? Do you want flowering shrubs that flower early or mid-spring or all the way through the summer? They're out there if you want to take a look and see. They're out there. You can buy them. You can plant them. Just don't overplant. Just don't put them 2 feet apart. Spread them out. Give them some room, or you're going to be in that same pruning mess in about 3 years and have to chop some of this stuff back. But
if you sell the home, somebody else's problem.
Exactly. But prune before you sell it.
Yeah.
It always works better that way.
Do them a favor.
Yeah, do them a favor. But whatever you do to your yard is going to enhance your yard. It's going to enhance your life. It's going to make you feel better about what you do. Mm-hmm. And it's just a better thing all the way around. And if you do it and you get good at it, it only enhances the value of your property. So that when you do decide to sell, hey, you say, well, this is my backyard. And people go, I love this backyard.
Yeah, it looks nice.
But don't tell them how to prune. Let them figure it out themselves and run away.
That's on your own, buddy.
I know, that's on your own. Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah, well, hopefully next week our microphone won't smell like a disinfectant.
Like a salt can. Holy moly.
Where are you located, Mike?
Right here in this chair. My business is out on Highway 99 south of Winston, about a quarter of a mile. Look for the big green roofs. And we're open every day except Sunday from 9 to 5.
All right.
We're virus free.
There we go. 5 o'clock.